You're listening to Breakaway Wealth, the show designed to help you build wealth faster, think bigger, and break out of the herd. Now, here's your host, Jim Oliver.
Welcome back, Breakaway Wealth. I'm your host, Jim Oliver, and with me today, Brian Solomon. Brian, welcome.
How you doing today, Jim? Nice to see you.
I'm doing great, man. We're both here in sunny Florida, but it's not so sunny down here in Naples. How about up your way?
Well, actually, I got 3 plow trucks on the road right now. We got 2 inches overnight, and we're supposed to get 8 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. So I'll be happy. I'm coming back down there on the 16th. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. Okay. So you're in the real winter.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, I understand. Well, Brian, I like to let the guests kind of introduce themselves. So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and just tell us a little bit about what you do. And then I'll jump in with a bunch of questions. How's that?
That's fair and easy. As long as they're not too brutal.
They don't get brutal until the end. No, I'm just
Okay. So, well, my name's Brian Solomon. I was born in Saginaw, Michigan. Very active, you know, really with school. Sports really kept me in school because I wasn't a big fan of it. But I got my way through school and I, you know, grew up in a great family background. Parents, you know, dad was a small business owner with my grandfather. Mom was a nurse practitioner at the VA hospital. And when I graduated from college, that's when my life took kind of a rapid turn. The day I went to commencements, my mom told me she had cancer. Mm. And she's 49 years old. So in the meantime, that was 20 years ago in Saginaw, which is a big GM town. GM was in the process of striking and closing down numerous plants. And my dad's tool supply business was really struggling. And my mom ended up passing away 2 years later. And I had moved home to help out with the family because I have 2 much younger brothers. So I resorted to drinking. That was my refuge. I'd always liked the effect produced by alcohol. And I really didn't care about life or death at that point. And so it really got me in. I got in some trouble with the law. I got a couple DUIs. Thank God I never hurt anybody other than myself. But at that point, I told God, I said, you know, if you want me to walk backwards the rest of my life, I'll do it. Just whatever I need to do to keep sober. I knew my mom. And then the main thing that rang in my head is, you know, my mom went to church 3 times a week, never drank, never smoked. This is the last thing she'd want me to be doing right now. So I put myself in a rehab center. I was on the streets. I didn't have anywhere to go at that point. And then I started going to AA meetings, 7-10 a week, and started going through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where I really gave my life to God and started pursuing sobriety. And at that point, I was, let's say, on a mission. I had a friend at the time that was working at True Green that got me a job there. Obviously, I couldn't drive due to my DUIs, so I was working on the phones. And I just worked. I had a routine. I went to AA meetings 7-8 every morning, got picked up, taken to work around 9:30 and worked till 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. And I went back home. And that was my routine for years. And then I started, I just saved money. I didn't do anything. You know, I saved money and started, I really liked the lawn care industry. I just wasn't, you know, a big fan of the, you know, company I was working for and their way of doing things. And I kind of created my own selling style while I was there, which seemed to work really well. And that's when I started outside supervising. And that's when I started seeing different lawns and different results of lawns. And that's when I ran into Lawn Doctor. I competed with them. A Lawn Doctor is a franchise. And I noticed that their lawns looked better. And I wondered why. And so I started researching it. And they had one thing that no other company had. It was patented equipment. So I reached out to their, now the CEO and part owner of the company, Scott Frith. And he worked with me diligently because I wasn't your typical franchisee. I didn't have hardly any money. I had to start up. And so I, bare bones, I was going to start up. I had a startup year of 2010. And I had to delay it another year because my car broke down. So I literally start off $15,000 cash and a dream and willing to put in some hard work. And I made a lot of sacrifices from that point to make everything work. And that's when you really got to get creative as a business owner, as you know, Jim. So since then, you know, I moved to Kalamazoo where I met my wife and I started my Lawn Doctor franchise. And now I currently own 5 Lawn Doctor franchises. And it's done very well. I've been very blessed.
That's awesome. How long have you been sober since?
18 and a half years, since nice. June 27, 2005.
Congratulations. I just had coffee with a friend and she said in 2 days, it'll be 3 years. So she like,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she talks a lot about the AA program and the big book, and I've never read it, but I think that she believes everybody should read that book. So that's interesting. I've got a lot of friends that I play golf with that have either had a drinking problem or didn't really like the way they felt when they drank and they stopped. And so it's cool. It's, you know, I commend you for having that discipline to do that. But, you know, you mentioned something that's important. Once you gave your life to God, things started to turn around. It's kind of funny because we do this devotional every morning, Brian, with a bunch of guys. I think there's like 15 guys on the YouVersion app. And today it was talking about Adam and Eve in the garden and God saying, hey, where are you? Now, God knows everything. So God knew where they were, but what he was asking them is, where are you from a mindset?
Right.
Right? Like, where are you? And I think once you figure out where you are, and if you're not in a good place, then it's normally you are either your pride or your ego or something's getting in the way. So you go through this thing. Your mom, very young, should be in the prime of her life, and she's right. dying of cancer. That sends you to, you know, a place that of solace with alcohol. You get some negative results. You change. But so what I've seen in here in your story is you get adversity, you get this, and you're smart enough and motivated enough to change. So, you know, I think that's really important because sometimes people don't really take those steps to change. And so they never change, right? They never take that step. But the other thing is that you didn't let, I really liked your story. And when we played golf a few weeks ago, I really liked the fact that you didn't let the fact that you didn't have a lot of money stop you from owning this business, right? And you learned, so you educated yourself through this process of working for this other company. Then you were like, hey, I want to own this other company because they have this unique thing, but I'm not your typical franchisee, but here's why. So you basically sold yourself, right? And I know your sales style, and I'm not going to give that away yet, but you sold yourself to the franchisor who obviously now knows he made a good decision giving you a franchise and giving you opportunity. And you also talk about hard work throughout that. So let's break that down a little bit. Okay. Is, you know, one of my favorite quotes is adversity introduces a person to themselves. Okay. So you had this adversity and honestly, your reaction wasn't a good one, right? It was a negative one,
right?
But then you got some more feedback, some more adversity, and you went, done. This is never going to happen again, right? And so talk about just what you've learned from adversity or what you tell people when you're training them in sales or you would tell a brand new business owner about adversity.
Well, adversity, you're going to run into it. You got to be prepared for it. You know, like we had discussed briefly in our round of golf, you know, I used a lot of Dave Ramsey's principles just to save money, you know, back in the day. And they're simple principles, but a lot of people don't apply them, you know. And so when I can't, you're going to run into life happens. And so you have to be willing to accept that that's going to happen. And you got to figure out a way to get it done. And I have a lot of quotes that I use that have motivated me over the years, but one of my favorite ones is if you're willing to go where others won't, you're willing to have what others don't. And that's really a big step is, you know, people will get satisfied and get, you know, okay with where they're at. They'll be like, oh man, I've done good and, you know, things are doing well and I'm good. And then and you can get complacent at that point. And then you get hit with some adversity and then, or you lose an employee or, and then the struggles come. Whereas you got to keep pushing, moving forward, and you got to be humble in that way. You got to be willing to learn. Like, I won't tell you that, you know, I created all of this stuff myself. I've learned and I listen to others and I take tidbits of what other people say and say, you know what, that's a great idea. I should try that. You know what, that's a great idea. I should approach that, you know. And one thing I did learn is when we worked at my previous company in sales, you know, which was a lot on the phone, but we did some door-to-door stuff as well and some face-to-face, is we always did an hour's worth of role-playing every day before we started our day. Okay, and that was huge. You know, somebody, you know, one person that, you know, one day in January selling lawn care where it's difficult in Michigan, you know, you've got one guy that's kicking butt and everybody else is kind of doing so-so. And he's just got something that he's saying a little different over and over that's getting people's attention, that's getting them to change. And so guess what? You know, it's working for them. So I'm going to try it.
Right.
I'm obviously in there to make money and make sales, so I'm going to do it. And so, you know, learning from others is always a huge deal.
Yeah. I'm looking up a book right now. It's by Philip Jones. It's called Exactly What to Say, The Magic Words for Influence and Impact. Okay. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, but it's a really quick read or audible listen. And he gives you little hints and little things how to like interact with people and, you know, whether you're in sales, everybody's in sales, by the way, right? Yeah,
and everything's a sale.
So I never think that that's a negative. I did when I was younger, when somebody said, oh, you should be in sales. And I thought, man, that person doesn't think very highly of me. But you talk about working hard and you're working 12 hours a day. And you know, that's going to lead to success because it's hard to do something 12 hours a day and not get really good at it. But I think what impressed me when we talked was your approach to sales. And so I want to talk about that. What's your philosophy on teaching somebody about sales?
Well, I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people won't, a lot of sales books don't tell you. Okay. And I'll just kind of start with the finish. But, you know, when it comes to closing, they say if you never ask for the business, you'll never get the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I take somewhat of a different approach to that. I believe that the best salesmen in the world are the ones that create so much value to the person they're selling or to the company they're selling that when it comes down to it and I've presented you with all the value of what I can do for you, you look stupid saying no. You know, yeah. And it can be a combination of, you know, yes questions is what I always teach people. Like, you know, if I can fix your lawn and give you the results you're looking for, it would make sense to use my service, right? You know, if I can accomplish, you know, if I can do these problems you've had, take care of these problems you've had in the past and do it for less than what you've been paying in the past, it would make sense to use my service, right? You know, and it can be as simple as, you like saving money, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so using yes questions. But the other thing is, especially in the kickoff of talking to somebody on the phone or talking to somebody in person, is I want that person talking. I don't want to be doing all the talking. You know, when I'm teaching new salespeople, I've taught hundreds over the years. Okay, everybody gets all this knowledge and they read all the stuff on the product or service they're selling and they get all excited where they get up to that customer and they just, you know, they constantly go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about all the benefits of their service, stuff they do. And then the next thing you know, I always use the example of going up to somebody's door and telling them everything we do about the lawn service and all the benefits of how great we are and stuff like that. And then the guy going, okay, hold on, let me get my mom. She's the one that owns the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasted 15 minutes of my time. And so I want to get that person talking, okay? Because the truth to selling in anything is you've got to find out the true objection and what they're looking for. And if you can find out what they're looking for and what they want, and you can give them what they want, then they're going to take the service more than likely, or they're going to buy the product more than likely. But you have to find out what got you to this point. Why am I sitting here talking to you about, let's just say lawn care, because that's what I'm in. why did this person call me, or why are they listening to me about getting help with their lawn? Okay, well, I want to hear, you know, I've used this other company and they did a great job on my lawn, but they never called me ahead. So they let my dogs out a bunch of times out of the backyard. It could be as simple as that. It could be they did a great job with fertilizing my lawn, but they never killed the weeds. They couldn't take care of the weeds. So that could be the problem. And I don't know any of this stuff unless I'm asking questions and getting that person talking. You know, and then I call a load in my gun. But if I can get that person go on a tangent of talking where they talk for 15 minutes and they spill the beans on their history of lawn care, them doing it themselves, the problems they had doing it themselves, and the hassle of doing it themselves, getting stuff done on time, them trying a different company, and then the company not giving them the results they were looking for because they broke their fence, they striped their lawn, they did this, they did that. You know, and if I get all those things now, wow, I got a whole arsenal of things that I can approach this customer with. Well, so what you're saying is if I can come out, get your lawn thicker and greener without damaging your property and without causing you any problems and you not having to worry about storing fertilizer in your garage and smelling it every day in your garage, then you'd be interested in giving me a season to show you what I can do, right? So that's what it boils down to. And I think the listening factor is huge.
Yeah. No, that's cool. You know, the one thing that I think about what you just said is it reminds me of there's a book called $100 Million Offers, How to Make Offers to People Where They Feel Stupid to Say No. And one of the examples, this guy was in the gym business and he was doing some kind of consulting where he would come in and he would run your gym for 30 days and he would guarantee that you would increase your revenue by $240,000 or $250,000 in the next quarter. Okay. And so his offer was, I'm going to come in and do this. It's $42,000 for me to be there for a month and do this. But you don't pay me the $42,000 until I increase your sales by $250,000. Now, so you would almost feel dumb to say no, right? It's kind of like what you said.
Absolutely.
So, you know, like I think the same thing. It's like, okay, hey, if I could do this for you, then, you know, would you give me a season to, you know, if I can make your yard look better and it's less money and I don't let your dog out, would you give me a season to prove myself?
Correct.
Right. Correct. Like something like that. And so I love that because honestly, I don't think people know how to talk to people. I don't think people really know how to educate people. And I think one of the things that reminds me of, or one of the things that's cool about you is you talked about like educating, hey, here's why we're better at this than anybody else. Right. And I think too many people try to be too slick and they try to say, hey, am I wearing the right shoes and the right whatever? You know, I mean, they just don't get it. And I think it's all about them. But the hero in the story is the homeowner, right? The homeowner gonna have if they have a better looking yard, they're the winner, right?
Correct.
It's not Brian wins. It's the homeowner wins. It's the customer wins. It's customer based, customer focused. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool. And, you know, congratulations on your success, Brian. And thank you for sharing your story, but also some of the key aspects or the key traits that you've developed or had or exposed or were exposed that helped you be successful. So along the way, somebody had to give you some pretty good advice, right? So what's the best advice anybody's ever given you?
Well, the best advice I would say my uncle gave me, and I tried practicing this a little bit through AA and through the program and doing a personal inventory of myself and being honest with myself. That was a big step, but he kind of put it out in the open for me. And he's a pastor of a church, and another pastor had told him having lunch. And this is told him, he's, you know, Kevin, you know that what I like about you? You're an open book. There's nothing, you're right out in front of me. You have nothing to hide. You don't have anything you have to explain to me or nothing. I know who you are. You've always been honest. You're always open. You have nothing to hide. And it's an easier way of living. And we discussed that. And that's the way I've tried to live my life every day. It's easy to live that way, running my business that way, running my life that way. I don't have anything to hide. I'm right. open. There's nothing that I have to worry about, like, oh, shoot, I hope that person doesn't, you know, tell this person this, and I hope this person doesn't tell this person that, you know, or I hope somebody doesn't bring up my past because, no, my past is my past. What I did brought me to where I am today.
Yeah.
And it built who I am. I wouldn't be who I am if it weren't for the past and what's happened to me and the way God's shaped me.
Right.
So I would say my best piece of advice is, you know, live your life like an open book.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, always be straightforward who you are. And if people always know who you are, you don't have to worry about, you know, covering up a lie or making another lie to cover up another one. I know some people like that who live a life of lies, and they have to lie to cover up another lie. And that just isn't an easy way of living, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it'll catch up to you sooner or later, right?
Right. And, you know, that with that being said, it's peace of mind, too, and understanding. You know, one of my biggest struggles while I was drinking is I always wanted what other people had. That was always a huge struggle of mine. Like, I would always look at what other people had, and I always wanted what other people had. And I've totally changed that. Good. I'm glad you have what you have. You know, I have my wants too, and I have my needs, and, you know, I'm happy with what I have.
Yeah.
You know, and if I want something, I pursue it, but I don't need to. I mean, I strongly believe there's people, you know, that make $15,000 a year that are happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you're a reader. I'm a reader. You know, we could probably go spend 3-4 days a week at the library for free.
Yeah.
And enjoy ourselves and have a good day for free. Whereas there's a lot of people out there that are making $1 million a day that are ready to kill themselves.
Right.
And so being happy where you're at is a big deal.
Yeah.
And, that's really, really, you know, being an open book, not hiding from anything is really an easy way of living.
That is, absolutely. All right, Brian, last question. If God came down from heaven and only allowed you to retain the knowledge that you've received from one book, what would that book be?
You know, you can guess this in one guess real easy. The Bible.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much to learn from that. There's so many just basic principles. I mean, I tell people all the time, I mean, even if you don't believe in the Christian faith or believe in God, and you just follow the Ten Commandments, you're going to be a good, productive citizen in this world. You know, I mean, just living by those 10 simple principles. And the Bible has so many good things that come from it and that people don't realize it. You know, I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, the big book, is highly touted. And, you know, they say they're not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution because they don't wish to engage in any controversy. So this is in the book. Okay. But the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous were all pulled out of the Bible.
Right.
And so that's where they came from. And they work. And I'm a strong believer in it.
Most self-improvement books, personal development books, all have their base in the Bible. I mean, every one of them. All right, Brian. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. And I, you know, normally I didn't give you this disclaimer, so it's my fault and I'm going to let you go with the Bible. But I normally say other than the Bible, but I'm not going to say that because I think the next book that you might say is the big book from
Alcoholics Anonymous.
And but the way that it kind of came out, and I forgot that disclaimer today. So we're going to go with that because I think it prompted us to talk about that. A lot of these books are based in the Bible. So we're going to wrap this up, audience. We thank Brian for his time and sharing with everybody today. And we're going to wrap this up the way we always do with The Strangest Secret from Earl Nightingale. Take it away, Earl.
Here's the key to success and the key to failure. We become what we think about. Now let me say that again. We become what we think about.
Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. If you are looking to discover new wealth building strategies, then go to community.createtailwind.com. That's community.createtailwind.com to join our free online community and get access to free courses and in-depth training videos designed to help you build wealth and break away from the herd. Click the link in the show notes to access the community today. Thanks again for listening.